This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Doe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Well, the night sky, September 2013. Of course, the nice thing is for astronomers that we have more hours of darkness, which can't be bad. We have a lovely sky in the south and towards the southwest after dark. Fairly high up, we have the star Deneb in Cygnus the Swan. Down to its lower right is Vega in Lyra, and below them Altair in Aquila the Eagle. Those three stars make up what is called the Summer Triangle. If you scan binoculars from Altair about a third of the way up towards Vega, you should pick up a rather lovely asterism. It's called Brocky's Cluster, but more normally the coat hanger, because it's just like a little coat hanger upside down. And it lies in front of a rather dark part of the Milky Way called the Cygnus Rift, so it's actually fairly prominent. Down to the lower left of the Summer Triangle is a sweet little constellation, Delphinus the Dolphin, with the four stars making up the body and a little bit of a tail down to the bright star. Over to the left, we have Pegasus rising. And of course, to the left of Pegasus, we have Andromeda, and in Andromeda, we have M31, the Andromeda Galaxy. There's a nice way to find Andromeda. You start at Alpha Rats, that's Alpha Andromedae, which is the top left-hand corner of the square of Pegasus. You go one star to the left, curve to the right a bit to the second bright star, then go through a right angle to the right, past one fairly bright star, and the same distance again, you should see a milky glow. Now, above Andromeda lies the constellation of Cassiopeia, and the lower right V of the W, that's the three stars at the lower right, they actually form an arrow that also points to Andromeda. It's another way to find it. Further over, coming down from Cassiopeia towards the east, where we have the constellation Perseus, we're still running along the Milky Way, very rich part of the heavens, and between the two is a beautiful little spot made up of two clusters. It's called the Perseus Double Cluster, and they show us a little milky blob, I suppose, with binoculars, but look very lovely in a telescope. So it's a nice part of the sky to observe in these early autumn evenings. What about the planets? Well, Jupiter is now beginning what's going to be a superb apparition. And I say that because it's lying in Gemini, and that's one of the highest parts of the ecliptic. So when it gets to opposition, that's when it's due south around midnight, it'll be really high in the sky, over 60 degrees elevation. Even now, it's rising at about 1 o'clock BST at the beginning of September, and at the start of astronomical twilight, as it's called, will be 25 degrees above the horizon in the southeast, shining at magnitude -2 with a disk about 35 arc seconds across. So well worth getting up a bit early to look for. Of course, by the end of the month, it rises at 11:30 BST and will be at an elevation of 50 degrees before dawn breaks. Its magnitude will have brightened a bit to -2.2 and the diameter up to 37.5 arc seconds. Of course, with a small telescope, you'll easily see up to the four Galilean moons as they weave their way around it, and at times, of course, the great red spot visible on the surface. Nicely, both equatorial bands are showing well at the present time. Well, what about Saturn? Well, it's lying in Libra, it's now well past opposition, and will be seen low in the southwest after sunset. Its magnitude remains at +0.7 during the month, and the angular size just drops a bit from 16.1 to 15.6 arc seconds. Nicely, the rings have opened out to about 17 degrees or so from the line of sight, and we are now observing part of the planet's southern hemisphere, with quite a bit of the northern hemisphere hidden by the rings. As it's at pretty low elevation, sadly, telescope views will not be good, but you may still be able to spot Saturn's largest moon, Titan. It's lying now in the more southerly part of the ecliptic, so even at opposition will not get that high in the sky. And sadly, that's going to get worse for quite a number of years to come. Mars. Well, I suppose we could say that Mars is beginning its apparition as well. It starts September in Cancer, but, moving quickly across the sky, moves into Leo on the 25th. It shines at magnitude plus 1.6 and rises about 3 o'clock in the morning and will lie about 12 degrees above the northeastern horizon by 4:30 a.m. as darkness begins to end. It should be easily visible in binoculars in the pre-dawn sky, but of course cease using them at sunrise. Its magnitude at plus 1.6 remains constant during the month, with the angular size increasing a touch from 4.1 to 4.4 arc seconds. Below about 5 arc seconds angular diameter, it's unlikely you'll see any markings on its salmon pink surface. We'll need to wait a month or so for surface features like the Sinus Iridium and the polar caps to become visible. And lastly, Mercury. Well, towards the end of September, it might be seen just above the horizon about half an hour after sunset, down to the lower right of Venus and Saturn. It'll be hard to see, even when using binoculars or a telescope, given its magnitude of about minus 0.1. That's not that faint, but of course it's seen against the glare of the sun. So finally, what about the highlights of the month? Well, on September the 8th and 9th, after sunset, we can see Saturn and Venus along with a thin crescent moon. About 45 minutes after sunset on the 8th, and given a low horizon in the west-southwest, it should be possible to observe Venus just over 2 degrees to the upper left of a thin crescent moon. Saturn lies just over 11 degrees away, slightly up and to the left. On the following night, the waxing crescent moon will lie just over 3 degrees to the lower left of Saturn. So that's two evenings, which should be nice to view if it's clear. In the night sky page that I produce on the Jodrell Bank website, I've actually included two highlights which are trying to show you some four of the nice features visible with a telescope in this part of the sky. The globular cluster in Hercules, seen in the west after sunset, and the double-double star in Lyra. And then we have two rather nice planetary nebula, the Ring and Dumbbell nebulae in Lyra and Vulpecula, respectively. So have a look at the night sky page, and there are charts to show you how to find them. On September the 17th, 1 hour after sunset, Saturn lies almost directly above Venus in the darkening sky. So again, you need a low horizon in the west-southwest, and you'll see Saturn at plus 0.7 magnitudes, just 3.5 degrees above Venus, which is much brighter at magnitude minus 4.1. Around the end of September, the 24th in particular, 30 minutes after sunset, Mercury joins Saturn and Venus in the twilight sky. Mercury then will be just 3/4 of a degree above and to the right of the star Spica in Virgo. Saturn lies just over 15 degrees away, slightly up to the left of Mercury, and then Venus is 7 degrees to Saturn's lower left. If clear, a nice little grouping of planets. And finally, perhaps what could be the highlight of the month, and particularly around the 27th, Comet Ison is now appearing in the morning sky. And so before dawn, particularly towards the end of the month, and given a 6-inch or greater telescope, it may be possible to spot Comet Ison, which should have had a predicted magnitude of plus 10. However, recently, it has not been brightening as much as predicted. And when observed on August the 12th, had a magnitude of 14.3 rather than its predicted magnitude of between 12.3 and 13.5, so not as bright as expected. Sadly, this might mean that Ison will not be the spectacular comet that many had hoped for. Anyway, we shall find out, and I'll try and keep you updated on the night sky page. On the 27th, it will lie just 2 degrees above the planet Mars, which had just crossed into Leo from Cancer. There's a very nice app for Android and iPads. It's called Sky Safari Plus. It costs about £9, £10. And a nice thing it will do is to download Comet's orbital elements and then show them in the sky. So that's a very, very nice app to have, and you can get it for your iPhone or Android phone as well, and I've got them for both of mine. So quite a bit to see this month. We have more time to do it, and I'm certainly looking forward to trying to get a first glimpse of Comet Ison. Good hunting.
Thanks for that, Ian. Now John Field tells us what you can see in the southern night sky.
Kia ora, and welcome to the September Jodcast from Carter Observatory. September marks a rapid change in the daylight hours as we race towards the spring equinox on the 22nd. We also see a marked change in our evening stars as our winter stars set earlier in the evening in the west and our summer stars begin to rise earlier in the east. After sunset, the Scorpion reigns supreme high overhead with its tail curled tightly around the zenith. To Māori, it is a fishhook. To Chinese, it is seen as the azure dragon with the smoke of the dragon's breath forming the Milky Way. This distinct shape of bright stars is host to a number of bright stars, double stars, and star clusters. A pair of binoculars will only add to the number of sights you can see. The Milky Way is running north to south and provide a wealth of targets. In the northern sky, its neck stretched along the Milky Way towards Scorpius, is Cygnus the Swan, also known as the Northern Cross. Its brightest star, Deneb, can be seen low on our northern horizon. It marks the tail of the Swan. Deneb is the 19th brightest star in our night sky. It is a blue-white giant. Its distance is not accurately known and is estimated to be about 2,600 light-years away. Deneb has stopped fusing hydrogen at its core and is therefore moving away from the main sequence of hydrogen-fusing stars and is becoming a red giant. With an estimated mass of 20 times that of our Sun, this star may eventually explode as a supernova. Deneb, along with the nearby bright stars, Vega and Altair, form the winter triangle. Higher up in the Milky Way is Beta Cygnus. This star marks the head of the Swan. It is called Alberio, which name means the beak star. Although catalogued as the second brightest star in the Swan, it is in fact the fifth brightest. This star is revealed as a lovely double with gold and blue components that can be easily separated in small telescopes. At 380 light-years away, these two stars shine with a combined magnitude of 3. Gamma Cygnus is the second brightest star in Cygnus, and it marks the chest of the Swan and the centre of the cross. It is another supergiant star with an estimated mass of 12 times that of the Sun. From a dark location, a dark band can be seen in the Milky Way running up Cygnus. Called the Cygnus Rift, or the Northern Coal Sack, it is a large cloud of interstellar dust about 300 light-years away and contains about 1 million solar masses of material. East and northward of Deneb is the open cluster M39, covering a region of sky larger than the full moon. Visible to the unaided eye in a clear, dark sky, it is best viewed through binoculars or a wide-field telescope. It is revealed as a loose cluster of over 30 stars of a triangular shape. This cluster will be a challenge to view from New Zealand, but for observers further north, it will be easier to spot. As we saw before, Altair marks the top of the winter triangle. Looking to the eastern horizon, we see a solitary bright star, Fomalhaut. The 18th brightest star in the night sky, Fomalhaut marks the mouth of the faint constellation of Pisces Astralis, the southern fish. Between Fomalhaut and Altair is a long line of stars that forms the zodiac constellation of Aquarius, the water carrier. Alpha Aquarii at magnitude 2.96 is actually the second brightest star in the constellation. It is about 520 light-years away, an estimated range of brightness from 3,000 to 5,000 times that of the Sun. Slightly brighter at magnitude 2.87 is Beta Aquarii, which is 540 light-years away and is about 3,000 times brighter than the Sun. Zeta Aquarii is a magnitude 3.6 double star, 92 light-years away. Prior to 2004, it was located in the southern celestial sphere. After 2004, it crossed the celestial sphere and is now in the northern celestial sphere. Also in Aquarius is M2, a globular cluster visible in binoculars as a hazy star. With a 20-centimeter telescope, this cluster can be partially resolved. NGC 7293, commonly called the Helix Nebula, is a nearby planetary nebula that covers an area of the sky about half the size of the full moon. Despite its large size, it has a low surface brightness. It can be seen in binoculars as a hazy circular spot. Small telescopes with a low power eyepiece should reveal the nebula with little difficulty. Perhaps the Southern Cross can be found nestled in the Milky Way and is midway down the southwestern horizon, with the two pointer stars following behind. Sitting beside the second brightest star in Crux is a fuzzy fourth magnitude star that, when viewed through binoculars, reveals itself as a lovely cluster called the Jewel Box. The Jewel Box is one of the youngest known open clusters, with an age of about 14 million years. The brightest stars in the Jewel Box cluster are supergiants and include some of the brightest stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Calculating its distance is difficult, as the Coalsack Nebula skews some of its light. Current estimates put it at 6,500 light-years away. The Coalsack is a large cloud of interstellar dust and gas about 600 light-years away. Sitting along the southern horizon is Canopus, the second brightest star in our night sky. It is low and will move along the southern horizon during the evening. In our evening sky, the planets Venus and Saturn can be seen in the west after sunset, and during early September they will be joined by the planet Mercury. On the 9th, the Moon will sit between Venus and Saturn, making a pretty grouping. On the 25th, Mercury will be nearby to the star Spica and also will make a nice pairing. Over the month, Venus will move past Saturn, and by month's end it will set around 11:30 p.m. Saturn will move closer to the Sun and will get set progressively earlier and will also get fainter. The morning sky sees Jupiter climbing higher, with Mars hiding in the twilight sky. Above Jupiter are the bright stars of the constellation Taurus, Orion, Canis Major, and Canis Minor. From the team here at Carter Observatory, we wish you clear skies.